I remember that it's not about me at all. It's about them. It's about what they need. And it's about helping them feel seen and heard and helping them find the healing that they're looking for and, you know, helping them get to that point that they're wanting, or helping them overcome, you know, adversity and the things that they're struggling with within their own personal life.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we have the pleasure of meeting with Shelby Furness. She is a licensed master's social worker and the school social worker here at Turner High School. Welcome, Shelby, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're doing a little bit of a different type of recording today. We have our healthcare careers class in here with us today. Listening to us talk. And so we're just going to kind of go through your kind of career and what you do here at the school. Can you give us a little detail about your career and what you do for the students here at Turner High School as our school social worker?
Yeah, absolutely. So my role here is to work with students that are in the general education setting, and I provide both direct and indirect services to students, their families, staff, teachers. Basically, I work with students one-on-one with helping them work on any social and emotional struggle they may be going through and help them kind of meet those goals. If they have struggles, you know, in school or at home, in the community, anything going on that is negatively impacting their mental health that they want to work on, I meet with them individually and provide counseling services to them. But my indirect services are that I also provide resources in the community to help them. So I make referrals for therapy services, if they need medication, if they need access to food pantries, clothing, closets, any type of resources that they may need, I help provide those as well.
Okay. So what's a typical like day in the life of, or like your typical week kind of look like, laid out with some duties and daily experiences?
Yeah. So basically, you know, every day I have a schedule where I have students who are referred to meet with me, and they may have been referred to me by a teacher or their counselor, admin, and I meet with them individually and just kind of help them process through their thoughts and feelings and what's going on, and kind of help them develop a plan and be able to kind of problem solve some issues they may be having, and help them just kind of work through some mental health struggles that they're going through, and just provide a safe place.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you went to high school around the Kansas City area, Shawnee Mission Northwest, and you chose to study psychology and sociology at Mid-American Nazarene University. How did you kind of pick that school and this degree and pathway?
Yeah, so I had a mentor who went to Mid-American Nazarene University, and they just kind of told me about the college. They even took me to tour their dorm and the campus when I was in high school. And I just remember stepping on campus and feeling like, you know, there was a sense of community there, and just the smaller class sizes were very appealing to me. I liked the fact that, you know, I wasn't going to be going into a classroom full of hundreds of people, but the classes were on the smaller scale. So anywhere from like 15 to 40 students in a class. And so I just liked the fact that it was more personable, and you're able to make deeper connections with your peers and staff and professors. And so I really liked that.
So during that time, did you have anybody else, like family members or friends, that you went and toured other schools with?
I did. I actually so I was looking at smaller private colleges because, again, I liked the fact that they were smaller class sizes. And so I did tour a school in Nashville, Tennessee, called Tribeca Nazarene University. And I was considering going there, but ultimately decided to stay closer to home because I had some other things kind of come up around the same time. Some medical things I was going through that I needed to stay closer to home and be in this area. So I've always been in the Kansas City area. I've never left. And so.
Yeah, it's a good spot to live. As far as like scholarships or clubs or organizations during high school or college, what were you involved in and how did you get involved in those things?
Yeah, so the main thing that I was involved in that I really loved was at the college I went to, we had a mentorship program where you could become a mentor and kind of help show new students around campus and answer questions for them and just kind of befriend them and just help them with, adjusting to college. So specifically freshmen who were coming in. And so it was a freshman mentorship program that I was a part of that I really enjoyed a lot. I also did an organization and club that helped out in the community. And we went to a neighborhood in KCMO, and we just kind of worked with kids down there and became close with those kids and helped them with being able to just mentor them and get to know them better and help them out, those kids that had limited resources available to them.
So after graduating, did you go straight to work or like start looking for a job, or did you try to pursue your master's?
So right when I graduated, the initial plan was I was going to do the counseling program, the Master's of Counseling program through Mid-America Nazarene University. So I applied for the program, got accepted into it, and then I decided to scratch that plan because I got a job at the Wyandotte Mental Health Center working as a case manager. And when I started that job, I really fell in love with social work. So I decided to kind of switch paths a little bit and did not pursue my master's in counseling, but instead I got involved in working at the mental health center. And that's kind of where I fell in love with social work.
Okay. So while you you worked at the as a wraparound facilitator at the Wyandotte Mental Health Center, mm-hmm. What were your main responsibilities there?
Yeah, so I've been with the Mental Health Center for 8 years. And when I first started, I was a case manager. So I worked with kids and families, providing them with, ways to kind of help better manage their behaviors and emotions and just kind of teach them some coping skills and ways to kind of, manage how they're feeling and work through some struggles they're having. And then after working as a case manager and providing those services to them at home and in schools and in the community, I switched roles to a wraparound facilitator, which is more indirect services. So I did more coordination of care. So I coordinated their mental health services, and I helped bring their team of providers together. So I helped schedule meetings so that we could meet together with them, their parents, maybe even like a coach or a teacher who they trusted, and then their case manager, their therapist, maybe even their psychiatrist if they were taking medication. And so I got everyone together. We developed treatment plans and a goal for their mental health services and help them kind of check in to see how things were going every few months and check in to see with the team on how they felt like that client was doing and how they were progressing, and make changes that were needed to their treatment plan and maybe adjust their goals and objectives to help them, you know, kind of meet those social emotional needs.
Right. So how did that position and those roles there at the Wyandotte Mental Health Center, how did those prepare you for your current role here as a high school?
I would say it definitely helped me be able to just kind of experience, you know, more in the mental health field and get kind of that good experience on, you know, just kind of how to, just kind of help like more mental health experience and kind of, you know, how to help them with their emotions and processing things and experiences. And I definitely, you know, heard a lot of, you know, really hard stuff, like a lot of traumatic stories and a lot of challenges that they were going through. And so that kind of helped me be able to kind of grow my skills and experience in the mental health world. And being able to now use that in a school setting has been pretty cool because, you know, I'm now learning the way that schools are set up and helping them with being able to achieve certain goals in their mental health and socially and emotionally, but in a school setting, and also trying to help them achieve academic goals at the same time. So it's kind of cool that I feel like I've been able to take the experiences that I've learned in the mental health center and be able to really apply that here in the school setting as best as I can.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So you decided not to do the counseling program and you chose to get your master's at KU in social work. How did that switch from counseling to social work and going from Mid-America to KU kind of transpire?
Yeah, so for me, working at the mental health center, you know, there were lots of people who had different backgrounds. There were people who had backgrounds in counseling, social work, even people who had backgrounds in theater or education, you name it. There were lots of different, you know, degrees that people had. And so, you know, basically just throughout working there at the mental health center, you know, I found that, I just kind of found like my passion kind of grow for social work because counseling is really great too. And they're very similar. There's a lot of similarities with counseling and social work, but with social work, I found that there was just more diversity. Like there were, you know, there's social workers, in schools, hospitals, mental health centers, you know, you name it, they're kind of everywhere. And so I just found that there's just a lot more that you can kind of do in the social work field. And so that kind of helped me kind of go that route instead. And KU, I kind of researched different programs and I just found that, you know, they had a program at the Edwards campus, which is, you know, close to where I live. And so it was right. Nice for me to be able to go there and pursue my master's while I was still working at the mental health center. So I was able to work full time and get my master's degree at the same time because they offered classes on Saturdays. And so that was really nice to be able to, you know, work full time and go to class on Saturdays. It was busy. It was a lot, but right. it was more manageable to be able to do that.
Yeah, I could imagine, you know, sitting in there for 4 or 5 hours a day, you know, on Saturdays, it does take up a lot of time, especially with the full-time position. Mm-hmm. So if someone's thinking about getting into social work, why should they?
You know, I would say that if you're passionate about people and helping people with, you know, with their mental health, like, especially, I think, you know, just kind of, we all go through our own experiences too. And And so we all have like our own mental health struggles that we've been through and that we've overcome. And so I would say if you feel like you are very compassionate about others and you want to make a difference and you really want to help someone else be able to overcome their own mental health struggles and be able to, you know, find healing from, you know, just overcoming adversity, then social work would be great for you to be able to kind of like have that impact on others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So that kind of goes into what you find personally rewarding, you know, being able to just really help the other people and help them get through their social emotional needs. What kind of misconceptions do you think there are about this career path?
That's a good question. I would say maybe the biggest misconceptions are that you know, gosh, I'm trying to really think. I think that just...
Well, okay, so I'll give you a little example. So my dad worked at Southwestern Bell, AT&T. Mm-hmm. He was in the EAP program. He was a counselor there. Mm-hmm. And so one of the big things that he talked about was, you know, having to listen to people talk about their problems and issues and then decompartmentalizing that and not being able to let that affect him at home. I feel like that's something that social workers, counselors all kind of have that ability to, you know, decompress or put their feelings aside. Mm-hmm. How does that kind of fit into your mental health then, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. And that actually is a really good point that you brought up, because I think that that is oftentimes a big misconception. Is a lot of people, when they find out what I do, they're like, oh my gosh, that has to be so hard. How in the world can you do that job and listen to, you know, these sad stories and, you know, not have that affect you personally and not bring that home? And I would say that, you know, social workers and counselors and people who are in the mental health field, the programs that they're involved in through school or just the jobs that they're in, the training they receive, I feel like they do a really good job in grad school and in trainings with being able to teach you skills to be able to have good self-care and take care of yourself and be able to compartmentalize, you know, work and home. And for me, honestly, it's that drive home. I have a 30-minute drive home every day. And when I'm driving home, you know, that is me just kind of decompressing. And I am just kind of, you know, that's my space that I have to be by myself and to kind of like just kind of let the day kind of go. And then when I get home, I'm able to be present and be there for my family and focus on them. And so I don't take things personally. And I remember that it's not about me at all. It's about them. It's about what they need. And it's about helping them feel seen and heard and helping them find the healing that they're looking for and, you know, helping them get to that point that they're wanting, or helping them overcome, you know, adversity and the things that they're struggling with within their own personal life. So I just remind myself that it's not about me. I'm trying the best that I can do. And that I need to take care of myself too, and setting boundaries and limitations, and, you know, not checking my emails when I get home, and waiting until the next day. I always tell my students, you can email me at 2 a.m. if you need to, but just know I will not check that email until the following school day at 7 a.m. when I arrive here. But that it is important to me. And you're important to me, and I will get back to you, but I'll get back to you when, you know, when I'm at school.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said, you know, looking for that healing and having them being seen and heard. Mm-hmm. How does a conversation kind of look like when a student comes to talk to you about something that's going on?
Yeah, so first thing I always do is I just let them know, you know, who I am and why I'm seeing them. And I always let them know that they're not in trouble, because I think a lot of times if I've never met a student before and they're being called down to my office, you know, they might be scared and may have no idea why in the world they're getting called down to my office. And so I just let them know that first and foremost, you know, that I am just here as a resource and a person to be able to help you and provide a safe space for you to be in school and a break for you to have throughout your school day if you need that break and you need that person who you can trust. And I have to keep everything confidential, so I always let them know that I keep everything that you say in here confidential. So what you say in here stays in here, unless, of course, you tell me that you're planning on hurting yourself or others. If your safety or someone else's safety is at risk, I have to break that confidentiality because I'm a mandated reporter. And so I always let them know, first and foremost, that I'm here to provide a safe place for them. I'm here to listen and help them process things, help them to achieve goals that they're wanting to work on. And they don't have to meet with me if they don't want to, but that I'm a resource here for them, and I'm here to help, and I'm not judging them, and I'm just here to kind of provide that space for them.
Yeah, I really like that a lot. As far as professional development, you said, you know, during the school day is when you work. I'm mm-hmm. assuming you work similar schedule to a counselor for the school day. As far as summers, breaks, and stuff like that, same as teachers. What type of professional development as a social worker is there for you out in the industry?
Yeah, so I do have to get a certain amount of continuing education units throughout the span of 2 years. So I have to renew my social work license every 2 years. And by getting these continuing education credits, I basically just have to attend different trainings. And these trainings are about, you know, just different like therapy techniques, or they're about how to work with, you know, how to help, you know, children and adolescents managing anxiety and depression. There may be trainings on suicide prevention and awareness, you know, just various trainings about different topics in mental health, and it's especially, you know, topics that are very common and that are important to expand my knowledge on and skill set in.
Yeah. So now we're coming off almost 3 years of school being shut down from COVID. Mm-hmm. As far as industry trends for counseling, I know there was probably quite a bit that came from COVID and dealing with, you know, communicating interpersonal relationships and that kind of stuff. What are some of the industry trends you're seeing now as far as skills for you or for high school age students to use to cope with those social and emotional needs?
Yeah, so absolutely. There's been a huge increase in social emotional concerns and mental health needs since COVID. There's been just an astronomical amount of, you know, people trying to get into therapy, and the wait lists are so long. I mean, there's months, you know, of a wait list. I had a student the other day who said her first appointment is in April. And so, you know, it's just, that's definitely been something that we've seen. And there's a great need for therapists right now. There's a lot of places hiring to try to keep up with the amount of need there is. So I'd say that with as far as coping skills go, you know, you kind of asked about like if there's a trend in coping skills, like if yeah. there's specific coping skills that most students are using or most teens
or
are using?
Something. Yeah, either that or something new that's come out recently that may be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that, you know, with COVID and everything, I think that there's more resources online, and there's more like telehealth resources. And I think that so a lot of coping skills are more, you know, on your phone, and there's more technological coping skills out there that you can get your hands on, and different apps you can use, like Calm, you know, different apps that have deep breathing exercises, muscle relaxation exercises, different things you can do.
Right. So we're going to kind of look back at your profession a little bit more and talk mm-hmm. about some of the goals you have. So far professionally, what are you most proud of achieving?
I would say I'm really proud of myself for achieving my master's in social work. It was something that, you know, I kind of struggled with knowing which path to take for a little while. So at first I was thinking counseling. And then once I started my job at the mental health center and got involved in that, it took a little while for me to go back to school and get my degree, my master's degree. And there were definitely times that I questioned it, you know, because there were challenging moments when working at the mental health center. So there were times when I wasn't sure if I was going to pursue that or not. And so, you know, the fact that I did go after it and I did decide to pursue that. And it was definitely challenging working full time, 40 hours a week, while going to school all day on a Saturday, every Saturday.
Right.
And also on top of that, having to do practicum. So having to do like my internship for grad school. So it was almost like having two jobs while being a student. Definitely challenging, but definitely worth it for sure. Absolutely worth it.
Absolutely. So if you could look back at your educational path, is there anything that you wish you could have done something different or change as far as your education?
You know, I am a firm believer in, you know, that things kind of happen the way that they're supposed to, and they kind of play out the way they're supposed to kind of work out. And then if you really want it to happen, that you'll find a way, or that there will be a way to make it happen. And so I don't feel like I would do anything differently. You know, I am glad that I went to the schools I went to and that I pursued the degrees I did. And so, yeah, I would say that I don't feel like I probably would change anything about it.
Okay. And then career goals, where do you kind of see yourself professionally, you know, 5 to 10 years from now?
Yeah. So, you know, I have been thinking about pursuing my clinical license, and then that would be able, I would be able to, you know, do private practice. So I would be able right. to provide individual or family therapy to clients. And so that is something that I am thinking about pursuing. It's not something that I know for sure right now that I want to do, but it is something that I have thought about. And so that's kind of a career goal that I have out there that I might end up pursuing. But for right now, I am happy with where I'm at, and I really enjoy being in the school setting and being able to work with the students and staff that I work with.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, you know, same students and staff as you, and it's I have fun every day that I'm here. And we're going to look at some 4 different time frames in life of a high school kid going through a program. What advice do you have for a high school junior or senior that might be interested in pursuing a career as a social worker?
So I would just say to really kind of think about what it is that you want to pursue and what you're passionate about. And so thinking about like what you're passionate about, and then kind of doing some research to find out, you know, what kind of career paths would align with what you're passionate about. So if you're passionate about helping others and you're passionate about working in the mental health field and social work, then really researching you know, the different avenues of social work, because I kind of talked about how, you know, there's social workers that work in various different settings. So kind of researching, you know, different social work jobs and maybe even shadowing a social worker to kind of see a day in the life of what they do. Obviously with confidentiality, it can be kind of hard sometimes to shadow, especially like for me, I wouldn't be able to have anyone with me while I'm with another student because I have to keep their, you know, I have to keep that confidential and private and respect their privacy. But there are other things that I could have students shadow me on or that other social workers could still have them kind of see what they do. So that would be my advice, would be to just, you know, do your research and maybe find a social worker you could shadow to kind of see if this is something that you're really passionate about, and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, good. And then kind of a few years from then, you know, let's look at a college sophomore or an undergraduate that's trying to get into that program for social work. What advice do you have for them while they're in school?
My advice for them would be to kind of immerse themselves in the field. And so, you know, maybe that is a part-time job in the mental health field, or maybe that's an internship, but to really get that hands-on experience to see if they like it. You know, you can go to school and be taught about the subject, but until you're really actually doing the work itself, that's when you start to find out whether or not it's something that you want to continue to pursue or not, or something that you really enjoy.
Okay. And then advice for somebody getting ready to graduate and start looking for a job. I know there's a lot of different things with networking and, you know, talking with your professors at school. What do you think is some really good advice for that person that's getting ready to look for that first job?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, it's very true. Networking is definitely important. However, I would also say that, you know, kind of just researching and looking into different organizations and different companies and places that, you know, reading the reviews on that company or on that organization and really getting to know that place and seeing if that's a place that you want to work at. And so networking is important, but also kind of getting to know the different organizations or companies that you might be applying to is very, very important.
Right. And then last part of that is advice for someone that is hired and started working in their job maybe for 3 to 6 months. What are some skills for them that they should be focusing on or things that would benefit them?
So definitely going back to being able to compartmentalize your work and home life, I would definitely recommend that when you first get started into that career, setting some really good boundaries for yourself that help you be able to create that separation, and developing some good self-care habits that allow you to be able to take care of yourself and your own mental health so that you're not getting burnout, because it can be really easy. It can be very easy to get burnout. Burnout is something that can happen if you are not setting those boundaries for yourself.
Okay. And then, so let's look at some recommendations you might have for a book for a high school kid, maybe a younger college age student that they might be interested in about social work or getting into social work or dealing with those emotions.
Yeah, so a really good book that is about overcoming adverse childhood experiences would be The Body Keeps Score. And that's just about, you know, overcoming trauma and how trauma affects the brain and the body. And I would say it's just a really good book that not even just, you know, social workers have read or not just for social workers, but I would just say for anyone who's interested in the mental health field in general, that that's a really good book to read to be able to kind of have a better understanding of how trauma affects brain development.
Good. And then our athletic trainer came up with this question. It's if you like and if you dislike. So we're going to start with the dislike first. So if you dislike blank, then working as a social worker is not the right career path for you.
If you dislike people. no, but if you really do not like, you know, if you have a really hard time with being able to separate your own emotions and feelings from working with others, then right. It's going to be very difficult for you. And you can have the passion there for it, and you can be very compassionate about others and empathetic and wanting to help people. But if you're not able to take care of your own mental health needs, it's going to be very, very difficult for you. And you're going to reach burnout really quickly. So I would say not so much if you dislike something, but just that if that's hard for you, then that might not be, that might be something that is just a little more challenging for you.
And let's flip that. If you do like blank, then this might be the right career path for you. And I'm going to take away the people answer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I would just say that if you really enjoy making an impact and wanting to see, you know, positive changes happen, because, you know, I've talked about like mental health, but then also, I mean, social work does a lot of working with trying to combat social injustice. And so I've been talking about social work on a micro level, like on a smaller level, but there's also, you know, social work on a macro level, which would be more of like a bigger level of like trying to make changes to legislation and trying to get laws to be changed. So trying to make a difference on a larger scale and trying to, you know, trying to fight social injustice, then I would say that that this would be a really good career path for you.
I really like that a lot. As far as a mantra or quote, do you have anything that you kind of use as a daily or, you know, signature or something like that?
So I love quotes. So it's really hard for me to choose just one because I feel like I use quotes every day. I read quotes every day. I kind of like to read a different quote each day for inspiration. I have, you know, in my office on my calendar whiteboard, I have a spot where I write a different quote kind of each month. And right now the quote I have that I love is, if I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way, by Martin Luther King Jr. And I feel like that's a really good one because oftentimes we think that we have to do these great big things to make a change. But really, it can just be a whole bunch of small little things. Just smiling at someone and saying hi and remembering their name can make a huge impact on their day. And, you know, maybe no one has talked to them in a day, and that just changed their whole day for them. So that's something that that's a quote I have right now. But I have a whole bunch of other quotes that I love. But I won't get into, I'll just leave it with that one right now.
that's a pretty good and inspiring one. If someone that's interested in learning out more about social work, is there a way that they can get in contact with you and find out more information?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. They can definitely email me. And, So since I do work here at the school, they can just look up my last name, which is Furness. But if they, you know, if they don't, my email address is sfurness, F-U-R-N-A-S, at turnerusd202.org. Or they can come find me in the library. My office is in a library, kind of tucked down, kind of like what you talked about, tucked down a hallway across from what used to be the copier room, but is no longer the copier room. It's now the new school psychologist's office. Okay. And close to the double doors across from the guidance counseling center.
Okay, perfect. Well, Shelby, thank you so much for spending this time with us. And we really appreciate listening to you talk about your career and your experience as a social worker.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.